So far, I have not seen her. No.
All right. Well, yeah.
Good evening, Wynn.
Hello, Hives. Hey, good radio show last night, Wynn.
Thank you. Who is that?
Don in Superior.
Hi, Don. Wait a second. Don Briggs. No?
Hanson.
Don Hanson. Okay.
I want to welcome this caller who just joined in. This is the question and answer call, and feel free to say your name and location, please.
Good to hear your voice. Hi.
Well, thank you. Now, who are you?
Donna from Great Falls.
Hi, Donna. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we're about 6 o'clock. Hang on a second. Just a moment. Welcome. We got one more hello. Would you like to say hello?
Hello. Alyssa from Florida.
Hi, Alyssa. And we should be on anybody listening on DBS as well as the phone?
I will be in a second here. My phone's dying, so.
Okay, I just wanted to see if we're actually on. Anyone hear us? Hello, Don.
I'm just getting linked into it.
Is that Don?
Yep, but I'm not there yet. It's coming up now.
6:01, hurry up. We got people waiting for us.
Okay.
This is not Don from Paradise. This is Don from Superior.
Oh, no. That's not. Oh, okay. I thought it was Don. Maybe we're on then, huh?
Maybe so.
You're on.
Okay, right.
Right.
Before I start talking, as if we're on, I'm just going to double check it.
We just had a confirmation when we are on.
Oh, we are. Okay. Good.
Booted.
Hey, everybody, this is Winfrey, and actually, we're hitting the ground running today, although I shouldn't say anything, because something will go wrong. It's 6:02, we have a bunch of people listening on BBS. Hi, BBS people. We have a bunch of people listening on our conference line. Let me just say hello to the world. Hang on.
Muted.
Okay, conference line people. Why don't you say hello to the world?
Hello.
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 Hello, everybody.
Okay.
Hello. It's Vivian over here.
Vivian. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, how are you?
I don't answer those questions. FBS
5.
Hey, Ben, we're not recording yet, right?
Now, all you guys that are listening over BBS, who sounds like they're eating their dinner on the phone? Let me see here. You guys hear that? Okay. Muted them. And thank you, Heise, figuring out who's making noise. So everyone on the telephone line just said hello to you, okay? Now, everyone that's listening on the Internet, we're not going to hear you. So you have to think hello. And I want you to think hello and send love back to all of us here with voices, okay? So ready? 1, 2, 3.
There were bunch of people that thought it right after you said it. Think hello. A whole bunch of people thought it right then. And everything turned pink in my around me. This
you
is scary.
You could feel it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I could feel it. I don't see the pink, though. But I could feel the energy. And let me just see if the guys on the phone line could feel it. This is an experiment. I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't get the right job training, so I have to check out just a moment.
Muted.
Okay, everybody on the phone line, did you feel energy when they said hello?
Yes.
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 Yes. We did.
Yes, we did.
Pink flowers.
Muted.
All right. So I just... There's only two possibilities here that we all felt it. Number one, that we're a bunch of wackos. Number two, that everyone said yes to please me. Or what's the fourth possibility? That's enough possibilities. But Terry is pretty good because she saw pink. And so usually she's better than me in certain ways.
It's like the pink was, it's like, they're connecting up with us all.
Right, they're now connecting us. They're making the link,
yeah,
up. Now,
yeah,
if you're somebody that's listening on the line for the first time, what we're doing here is impossible. So if your mind is telling you, what are those guys doing, I'd like to suggest that don't try to understand it. I'll try to put it in words. But if you've read my book, I hope, and you've read the story of how I was talking to this voice that said they created the physical universe, and that I asked them many, many questions, how this works, how that works. And one of the things they said was, how do you interface with this realm? And they said they project love light into it. Well, I didn't quite know what that meant, except now I do, because on these conference calls, they say, now we're talking about invisible guys, so you have to draw your own conclusions. You have to test this, but I can just tell you what they say. They say they're monitoring us. They say when you're on this call, if you're open to it, they will do their best to contact you. And people ask me, well, how do they contact me? It's different for everybody, but it just has to do with energy. Some people, when you're dealing with the Elohim and the Ra group, you're not dealing with an alien being that sits down next to you that has an astral body that says hello. You're dealing with a huge source of energy. It's the center of the universe. And it might be as if they were the sun, but they're not the sun, but just to get, and they're radiating out. And most of us have our shutters down. And most of us have lived most of our lives with our shutters down. So on these calls, they are coming in, and it can be subtle or it can be profound. It can be like you feel an upliftment of energy. Just as simple as that. You feel connected. Your feelings of loneliness or alienation seem to go away. And some people end up seeing pink lights and saying, I was visited and I was on the ceiling and I went into other dimensions. And, you know, I am just the guy showing up. And you guys are emailing me and telling me how this works for you. And I'm learning as I go. So we've had enough experience that I actually believe they are showing up, they are sensing us, and they do not violate your free will. So if you are on the line and you feel like, I don't want anyone looking at me, then they won't look at you. They won't pay any attention. You have to say, it's okay to visit me. And then they expect that they might and look for little shifts. And if you really want to get the experience full blast, you need to come into our Sunday morning grid healing, because that whole call is emphasized on feeling the energy. This call is emphasis is asking questions and getting answers. And asking, trying to understand some of the questions that so many of you have, because for many of you, this is like a whole new way of looking at the universe. It was for me. And you're busy, first time you're exposed to it, you say, wow. And then it takes a while to assimilate it and integrate it. And so that's the reason we do this Wednesday call, to help everybody integrate it. And if you submitted a question, and I don't mention it tonight, I'm going to ask you a question. Please submit it again if it's important to you. I have to prioritize the questions. and I have to, some of the ones that I won't ask, I'll mention them, and I'll say why I'm not asking it, so you all learn a little bit. One thing, and I'll just say this, because a lot of people ask this kind of question, and I'd like to address it, and then I won't have to ask it later, and that is, they want to act as if our sources are experts, and they want our sources to clarify everything from their expert point of view. In other words, what happened when Jesus did this, and what happened when Ezekiel did that, and what should I do? Should I move to Philadelphia or to Atlantic City? Those were two of my home-based cities when I was younger. And how do I connect with them? Well, let me just say that this communication we're doing has a certain level of mystery to it. And over again, I have said this, and I can't say it enough, that if somebody's talking to you and they say they're the Elohim, how do you know they're the Elohim? How do you know they are who they say they are? The way the negative works is it comes forth and it'll say anything to get your attention, and then it'll trick you. How do I know I'm not being tricked? How do I know I'm not tricking you? I don't think I am, because, you know, I think Jesus had one of the best criteria, by your works you shall be known. We're not wanting you to believe anything. We don't want to be experts. We don't want to clarify the Old Testament or the New Testament. The more you do stuff like that, the more we tempt ourselves to be experts, and you tempt yourself to give up your power. And this is a co-creative interchange. You're not supposed to give up your power. I know sometimes you feel helpless, and you wish somebody would tell you what to do. And in some ways, that's how this realm got screwed up, because there are people that will step forward and tell you what to do so you don't have to feel helpless. And you know what happens after they tell you what to do? You're a slave. Now somebody is telling you what to do. So the work we're doing is not about creating slavery. It's creating wisdom, sharing wisdom. It's creating support. It's creating energy transference that helps you keep your heart open. And it creates community, because we keep showing up and you keep showing up. And those are the things that I think are important and important to share. And so when somebody asks a question that would ask me to have them give up their power, I might read the question and tell you I'm not going to ask it, so you can understand the kind of question that is. And when I was writing the book about David Wilcock, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, they said that both Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock had negative sources at different times, and that Edgar Cayce's famous devastation prophecy, where everything was going to blow up, was all from negative sources. So what happens is, you guys send me emails, what do you think of so-and-so's prophecy? What do you think? Well, all you're doing is making me an expert. You know, if it comes forth that there's something I'm supposed to tell you in those areas, it will not be because I ask that kind of question in a public venue. It will be, I will ask it privately. I will ask it to Daphne separately and to Terry separately. I will look for confirming things on the internet, and then I'll tell you, here's what I got on this particular thing. Because you have to decide. I'm only going to give you my research. Luckily, I have a couple, maybe even a third or fourth person, to double-check really significant things. Because when you ask transient questions, transient are things of the moment, you tempt a negative source. Carla Ruckert said that. She says, the way you never get a negative source is to ask a question, limit yourself to questions that are true over tens of thousands of years, that relate to universal truth. That's the safest way. So those of you that think you want to channel, and you want this kind of headache of worrying about whether somebody's deceiving you, if you're putting something out into the world, if you can trust it, if you ever get a voice, use it for your own evolution. Let it answer your questions personally for a long period of time, and make sure it feels loving, and make sure it feels wise, and don't ever rush to share it with anyone else, because that immediately is a great opening for a negative source. Why? Because most of us feel unworthy. And when you do something special like channeling, and everyone suddenly gives you lots of kudos for doing it, you seem to think you're somebody special because you're doing it, and it seems to fix your unworthiness. Not really. And so it tempts a negative source because it has the wrong intent behind it. There has to be totally selfless service. There has to be walking your walk if you're making certain statements. There has to be not underlying thinking you're going to make money doing it. Doesn't mean you can't make money, but if your focus is a business, you will get a negative source. So don't rush to want a channel. It took me 3 years at least, and Terry the same, and Terry, Daphne is still working on it, to make sure that we don't think anything negative is coming through. And even in spite of all that, I tell you guys to draw your own conclusion. Anything you want to say? Terry, are you on?
I'm here. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. It took me a long time to have a, would you say, repertoire? Is that like a conversation with them? And to make sure that their answers made sense, and they came through with a lot of wisdom and a lot of love. And over time, I got to trust them.
But you know what? Even with that, we're still vigilant. I'm still vigilant. And I look for things. And, you know, I haven't put this out. Some of you know, I'll say this because some of you are still waiting. We got questions, you got answers marathon on September 1st. And it went for 5 hours, and both Terry and Daphne were answering questions. And by the way, Daphne is on a hiatus. She's not disappeared, she'll be back, I'm sure, I think. But for those of you who are wondering, she's temporarily on retreat. And we did 5 hours, and I felt really good about it, except in a couple points. And there was one particular point, and you were where I asked the question about how long do we have to shift the planet? And they said 90 days. And I said, geez, that's not very much time. And everyone kind of panicked. And later I asked that to Terry. And they said, to Terry, that the manner in which I asked the question was, what's the word? I remember this word half the time. Temporal, you know, of the moment. And that kind of question brings in a negative source, and they didn't really give a lot of support to that answer through Terry. And
it doesn't have to bring in a negative source, but it can.
It can, yeah. So they said, I've been weighing it, and I don't really want to put that out, you know, because the response of people was fear. And that's not a positive response, no matter what we're saying. In general, I think that all of us, if you can say at any moment, I'm ready to leave this realm, then all those questions and answers don't matter. Because everyone, you're afraid of dying. You're afraid of your loved ones dying. And I've kind of convinced myself after all these years of talking to them that you don't really die. You just transition. And you move into another realm. And Terry tells me about, how all these beings meet me in the astral, etc. So,
Wynn, sorry, I just see that the recorder is not running over here.
Uh-oh.
This conference is being recorded.
So, those of you that are listening to the replay, welcome. This is September 19th, 2012, and this is our question and answer call. And you know what? They missed our hello. I'm not going to do it again. In any case, you can see how tricky that is. So when you guys ask me questions, so many of you say, tell me this, and you want specifics, and we're not going to get it. Do I see Daphne on the line? Hello, Daphne. Do I see you? Are you unmuted?
You see me.
Well, just I'm saying hello. Say hello to everybody. Everybody misses you.
I miss everyone too. Hello, hello.
Okay. Now I'm not going to ask you any questions tonight. You're just going to listen, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm just here as part of the team.
All right. Well, it's so nice to hear your little angelic voice, and we'll
Daphne,
go on.
I think I can speak for everyone. We love you very much. Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome, Heise. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Heise is such a mushball, isn't he?
it's that wonderful Dutch accent.
Right. All right. Now I'm gonna mute you, okay? Since that way you can make all kinds of background noises. Okay. Here we go. You are muted, and we're gonna call in the light. Are you ready, Terry?
Yes.
Now, when we call in the light, this is a invocation. It's a reaching for a higher level of truth using our group intentions. And it's moving to connect with this energy of oneness, this energy that David Wilcock calls the source field, that there are many names for, and we're all part of that energy. We usually feel separated. So when we bring in these messages, we want to not feel separated. We want to feel connected. We want to feel connected to our sources, and that's what creates the safety net where we can ask these questions in such a public way. And let me see here. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone on this line, myself, Terry, Daphne, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive have access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. And we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. Today is September 19th, 2012, planet Earth, and the merging of the two timelines. Our timeline from the 10th dimension and Ra's timeline from the 5th and 7th mention, and their density timeline. And we see that each of these densities move at a different time speed, so that when an individual focuses from that particular timeline, the time moves differently, so that the time in your third density to us in the tenth density is moving extremely slowly. There are many energies to keep in sync in the third density, and this is the reason for the slowness. It is as if one, instead of thinking in lightning speed and being able to affect an image and to be able to move the individual around, is more having a thought and then has to give all the material universe in the third density around them that is influential upon their space, has to get it all into sync. And that is one of the reasons that it is so difficult to be in the third density, because you have this difference in speed between you as a being whose home is in the higher realms and your accoutrements, which we mean your body and your environment, the air around you, the social complex around you. But more even just the physical things around you that need to get in motion for something to be accomplished. Do you have questions?
No. This is from Adam Fletcher in, where is he? He is in, I believe, New Hampshire. Let me see. Hello, everyone. This is Adam. I grew up in an extremely Christian Baptist family. It never completely set right with me, and I felt as if what I was taught wasn't the whole story. About 2.5 or 3 years ago, I came across the Book of Ra, I guess it means the Law of One, Carla Ruckert, and it completely changed my life and outlook on things. By the way, that book is available on the Internet all over the place for free. Just look up Law of One, Carla Ruckert, or Law of One. In the past year or so, I have been working hard on astral projection and being able to connect with my higher self. Subconsciously, it happens at times when I'm able to feel the love light and feel that I'm in touch with my higher self. But I struggle consciously to be able to do this. I have noticed that because of my Baptist upbringing, I have constant fear in the back of my head that says all of this is wrong, and I will go to hell for believing in this. At my core, I know that it is not true, that all of this makes more sense, and that all of this makes more sense than the Christian faith ever did to me. But it's a constant nagging. And so, can you offer insight as to what I can do to subside this fear? And one last thing, when I was the last caller to speak to you on Coast to Coast and told you that I've come to believe everything that you had talked about and asked you what the next step was. And when we got off the phone, I thought my question had not been answered. But within a day, I realized that you had answered my question, that only I could decide what my next step was, and you suggested that I find fellowship of like-minded people. And your conference calls and website are just that. Thank you. And I appreciate you for all that you're doing. And so the question is, he has this nagging fear because of his Christian background that he's guilty and that he might go to hell. How can he deal with that? Thank you.
Thank you. You need more information. You need more connection. We see in the Christian background, the research for the word, the constituents that go to make up the makings, that go to make up what the individual can use for guidance. And in the religion, there are many things that guide you and guide your family and guide society into something that has been proven workable. So one should not criticize or find fault with it. It is something that is occurring, is in use, and should be honored with the free will of the people involved. And to look at it and see what it consists of, what are the tenets of the belief, what are the mores, what are the recommended ways of behavior, and many of the recommended ways of behavior have proven very valuable for the survival over time of more than one generation. When you look outside of that for more connection, for more give and take with the universal principles, you can learn to fit the background in without making it wrong or without making what you are finding out wrong. You can simply review it all, and when you see something that eases your life and fits in ethically and connects you in a greater, more expansive way, and also includes the body of knowledge, is acknowledging its existence in how it has been useful without taking sides, you can begin to develop in a rounded out way, and you will develop your own sense of balance and your own look at how the history, the tenets, the beliefs have helped individuals to support them in their daily life and to give them entrance into community and to provide a group of people to ally with. And from that, without criticism, can then begin to expand out without feeling wrong. If you go like a sure-footed person barefoot in the walking in on the ground and feeling the ground beneath your feet and getting your balance and feeling sure-footed, so that the things that you learned can expand you from the base that you have come from and can still honor the good points and the benefits that the religion has given to your family and your grandparents in the past. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a question from Ray in Henderson, Nevada, and I think I will make a stab at answering this. When I can answer it, it helps hold the energy a little easier for Terry. And when two people meet for the first time and there is a chemistry connection, is this the soul feeling this, or is it just biological first, and then the soul makes the connection later? From all of my understanding, it's always different. Every meeting of anyone, there's no one-size-fits-all. When two people meet, there's automatic astrological connections. And that's, I would say astrological might be lower than soul. But, you know, is their Venus connect to their Mars? Is there, you know, what is their astrological thing? Because that makes something. And then there is their past life history. And if you meet someone that you had a past life history with, you can have an immediate vibrational connection, feel comfortable with them or uncomfortable, depending on what happened in the past. So all of those things are happening simultaneously, and it's going to be different for everybody. If somebody had a past life connection, they may not even have a... it may not hit them for after a while. I mean, there's somebody that's probably listening to the call right now that we had some email exchange, and they responded really, really strongly when they would hear my words, when they would listen. They really connected with this, apparently like nothing they'd ever connected with in their life, and they were emailing me about it. And then in the course of our emails, they sent me their picture, and I made the connection that they looked exactly like someone that I had associated with in a previous lifetime. And I was sure that it was the case. There was other instances, but I didn't recognize that. In fact, they kind of recognized it intuitively because of the way they responded to me. So that's an example where I think the connection was far above astrology, and it was on a soul-level thing. But in many other cases, most other cases, people would meet at a lower level and develop their lower levels of connection, and the other stuff would come in. For example, I've known Terry for 35 years, and I'm as surprised as you are at what comes through her. So let me go through another question here. And
we would like to comment further on the question on the table.
Okay.
We would like to see that also there are genetic similarities between some people, which would make it easier for one to connect with the other. And there are the way in which the culture in which the person has been raised, so that when an Italian in America might meet another Italian and they had both been raised in Italy, they could feel a very much connection at being in each other's vicinity, just because it is so good to meet somebody from one's home country. Those are two more things to consider.
Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. And this is a question from Debbie Heiner. And she says, I'm going to answer it for a couple of words. And she says, how will we know if we are one of the ones that get to graduate in the fourth dimension? Well, first of all, just by asking that question and trying to give yourself a yes or no, you're totally programming yourself that way. And a better question would be, what do I have to do to graduate? I would believe that everyone listening to these calls is getting enough information that if they apply it, they will graduate this round. And we still have a number of years. I will say that both Daphne and Terry, at different times, they were saying at one point that, and this could change too, it depends on how many people hold the energy here, but it, you know, for quite some time they were saying 2017 was a demarcation line, and that this work, the work we're doing, was going to create opportunities for people where not opportunities, other opportunities may have closed down. So you are on a trajectory. Everyone listening here is changing, growing, and you may not be in the place where you graduate right at this moment, okay? And you may be next week or the week after. Now, you know, the way they say it is ultimately it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because here we are now coming into this lifetime, all of us obviously in this lifetime, and we've gone through many lifetimes, and we've gone through a situation where we don't remember things, and we keep coming back, and we don't remember things, and we keep coming back, and back and forth, and here we are. We don't remember how long it's been in this realm, even though for many of us it's been a very long time, because I think we lose track of time in between lifetimes, so we go into a different timeline. So if you don't graduate, you'll just be around until the next chance comes around. And I would say the more you worry about it, the more you're putting obstacles against you. For every person, the qualities are going to be different. But let me pose the question, because I think that question is probably on many people's minds. How will we know? I'll just pose it the way they wrote it. How will we know if we are one of the ones that get to graduate the fourth dimension? To the fourth dimension.
Thank you. This is a question of anticipating the future, and we would like to point out that everything occurs in the now. Everything is created and recreated and recreated in the now, although it may not seem like that, because it seems like time is continuous. All of the experience, everything that happens, is created and recreated and recreated in the now. So when one asks a question about something in the future, then they need to take a look at how things seem to be headed. And things can be changed. One can have a sense, and it brings up several aspects of this. One can have a sense that something is going to happen, and it can be very, very strong, like a certainty. This is going to happen, and they know it, and it's a premonition, and generally they're right, and when they get it, it happens. But we would like to point out one experience which in Terry's past she had, which is an example of how the future can be changed. And that was, she was running a boarding house for people that were not making very much money. And in the boarding house, there were people petitioned off to have living spaces for them in the basement. So as Terry went through her day, planting the garden and cleaning the house and buying food for people, she began to get a sense of a fire occurring in the basement. And she went through a lot of agony about it. It's like, how could she be thinking things like that, of this fire in the basement? And it just, she could did see the flames, and she could see that not everybody down there would make it out. And she just fought the pictures. Well, finally, she went downstairs to the basement, and she looked around, and someone, an artist, was living down there, and the artist had stacked turpentine 3 gallons deep in a semicircle around the furnace. And Portland, Oregon is kind of a cold climate, so the furnace goes on in the winter. And turpentine is very flammable. So Jerry moved all the turpentine away from the furnace, and all of the pictures totally went away. There was no more pictures of fire. And Terry spoke to the artist and said, never, ever, ever put turpentine near the furnace. And the pictures just went away and never came back. So when there is a future event, there is a timeline wherein the factors involved in an event begin to take form, begin to manifest in the creation of that area. And one can begin to see that outcome. For instance, when another event was before the tsunami in the Indian Ocean and the South Pacific, many people had dreams or premonitions that something was going to happen. As the conditions began to take hold, began to come more into formation, where the tsunami, where the earthquakes would happen and the tsunami would be, then it bled into the future, into the consciousness of people as a future event. So premonition is one thing that if a person sees, has premonition, there is a way that they can see if it's something that they can have control of, or and they can do something about it if it's local, or if they don't have control over it, if it gets very vivid and very strong in their consciousness, they could leave the area, go to high ground. For instance, some of the animals in the South Pacific before the tsunami could feel it coming in, sense it coming in, went to high ground. So there is a sense of something coming about. So when you apply it to your own self, you can begin to have a sense of what your future may be, what you are working toward. And if it is something more intangible, you can put the picture within your space of how you want the outcome to be, even though the outcome may be very different than what is the trajectory that things are moving on. For instance, if things seem economically like they're going downhill, then you can project for your own self local conditions that will allow you to have the vision that you will escape that downward movement in the economy. So when you look at your future and whether you will graduate around, then right in present time, you have a lot of things to work on. Take a look at your own self. Are you going to be within your own matrix, within your own consciousness, able to hold the energy of love without being jealous and without being egotistical and without demanding everything go your way. And take a look at how you, your own self, can begin to work with yourself to see your patterns and how you can begin to move into a more fulfilling space. And we say that more fulfilling space is not to put like a rule or anything like that where you attempt to stifle your own self, because true love and true give and take is very spontaneous and very fast, and so we see taking a look at yourself and seeing if you have blocks and working on how you can get through those blocks, not how you can stuff unwanted emotions away or how you can force yourself to act loving, because true love is spontaneous, and it works with all the chakra systems, with the chakra systems working in a clockwise direction, with your cells working in a clockwise direction. And that is one of the reasons that nutrition is so important and your basis for how you your body supports you is very important. Because when you eat, for instance, genetically modified foods, they tend to encourage your cells to move in a counterclockwise direction, and then your body does not support you as you would best fulfill yourself to have it support you. Those are some of our comments.
We are almost out of time. I'll read a question that I'm just going to point out is not the kind of question that's good. It's from Crystal. Will my financial condition expand in order to start a new product line in my business? Now, if you look at where she's asking it, she's giving up her power. I'm using you as an example. Forgive me. No one knows who you are. It's like you are the creator. It doesn't happen outside of you. If you remember the image of the bicycle and how the Elohim compared themselves to a bicycle, where you pedal and then it goes to a gear shift and it goes to the real rear wheel, if you start pedaling and you pedal in the right way, you'll get a lot of extra energy. You'll have more synchronicities. But you have to learn to pedal. It doesn't just happen like by magic. And then when it does happen, it says, geez, that was magic. So it does happen by magic, but you have to pedal. I'm learning how to pedal. Let's see, it's 6:53. We've got about 3 minutes. I'm sorry, we have so many good questions tonight. Please ask them again next week. We have a question here from, let me see here, Melina. And it's a good question. I think, why, can you help me remember why I chose to be born to a mother who blames me for her deafness? And she doesn't explain why her mother blames her. But maybe we could ask the more general question. Many of us chose to be born, assuming we chose to be born, and picked our parents, and yet we had parents that created great difficulties for us. Could you share why we made those choices?
Thank you. Sometimes, as in your case, you are working out a past life situation with your mother. Your mother, in this life, gave up a lot to bury you, and nutrition went to you, and was it was hard on her body, and to go through some of the things that your mother went through was very hard upon her, and putting money toward you raising you, and sacrificing some of the things that she did to give you life and to give you existence and to support you was hard. We suggest that you, in looking at your mother, remember back in seeing what she said about that. Writing down anything you can remember of what she said about that. And seeing if anything that she had told you about that makes sense to her position, that you had something to do with her deafness. Now, if something that she said does not totally make sense, then write it down anyway and see if you can develop a pattern about it. Something also that she is not looking at, that she is blaming you, but it is a wrong target because you were not responsible for that. And she had you within her own free will. This view that your mother has, and maybe it will shift as we are looking at it or as you look at it, and let your mother have it and see if you can get beyond it in your own view, in reviewing things that you remember that she said and ways that she was around the house, complaining that she made about other people. You also see that it was not only you that she blames for certain things, but she blames others around her too. And she has felt to some degree like she has what she is given has created a problem for her own body. And see if you can, within your own mind, find out more information from your memory and seek to put the pattern that your mother has together and forgive her for that. One of the things in this lifetime is to learn forgiveness and how to be centered within yourself without having to take on something that someone else has blamed you for, but to hold your own center and your own position, and then to give them separately their own position and treat it like a fact of life, not something you like, but a fact of life, and see how you can work with it in your own consciousness to let it go. Once you let it go, it will make it easier for her to let it go, although we see there is an aspect of your mother that holds on to certain things to anchor her own self in making another wrong and herself right.
We're going to have to close off. We're at the end of the hour. Now that we're on BBS and on the radio, we have to keep our calls confined. So I thank everybody for being here. I thank everybody on the lines. I thank everyone on the replay lines. And these replays are available of all of our calls on the Internet. And I do send out thespiritchannel.net as one of the places. So we'll see you all later, and Thank you, Terry, and thank you, our sources.
We send each and every one of you. We give you, we see that light around you.
Your conference recording has stopped.